Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get the latest news from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, including an update on Minnesota's GI Bill and other veterans benefits. And we're recording live from the Minnesota State Fair. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
We recently celebrated the third annual Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Every branch of service and nearly 70 organizations that support military and veteran families were on display. None can argue that one of the most moving parts of this year's event was a recognition of more than 1,000 of Minnesota Vietnam era veterans from all branches of service. We have entered into a decade where we will be commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. It is past time to reflect upon the valor of this generation that served with honor. Many died before they could hear the words, "Thank you for your service." Through events like Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, we are doing our best to right that wrong and properly thank them. I thank State Fair Executive Director Jerry Hammer and his strong staff on their continued efforts to recognize our men and women in uniform from the past, present, and undoubtedly in the future. We'll see you at next year's Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said, we're recording live today from the Minnesota State Fair, and joining me now is the Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Reggie Worlds. Deputy Commissioner, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here.
Reggie, for those that might not have heard us when you're on the show before, you are a veteran. Can you tell me a little bit about your military career?
Sure, Tom. I am an Army veteran. I started my service in 1985 as a Patriot Missile crew member. Did 8 years total. I got promoted up to a platoon sergeant for a Patriot Missile Battery. I really enjoyed my time deployed with my unit during Desert Storm over to Turkey. We were in charge of guarding Incirlik Air Base, but my military experience was second to none. Really enjoyed it.
And Reggie, how in the world did you get from your military career to be the Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs? I knew you were a County Veteran Service Officer at one time.
Yes, sir. I started out as a County Veteran Service Officer back in 1997 in Martin County, and eventually migrated north to become an Assistant County Veteran Service Officer with Hennepin County. After about 2 years there, I came over and was the first outreach worker for the state of Minnesota, charged mainly with working with the communities of color, homeless and female veterans, and that was broadened to serve any underserved veteran, any veteran that had not had any connection with the VA. More as a compliment to the County Veteran Service Officers than anything else. And from there, got promoted into supervisory positions, and then ultimately in 2010 became the Deputy Commissioner for Programs and Services.
You really stepped up through a lot of different jobs on the way up to Deputy Commissioner, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did. It's been a fabulous career. Working with veterans and their families is a noble mission, and every day that I come to work, I think, is a blessing.
I know you've got a theory on some of our veterans think that VA benefits are just for those people that were wounded in action and had some serious injuries, and I'm one of them, but you've got another theory on that, don't you?
Yes, I have a theory that if you serve this country and for any reason, whether it's a mental, physical condition that was incurred in line of duty, you know, you are entitled to visit with your County Veteran Service Officer and see if there's some entitlements for you. You know, we have a lot of individuals that have had physical disabilities due to injuring their back. You know, maybe they had a traumatic experience that was not necessarily as a result of war. Those are all things that are lingering. And the cure is in treatment. And the quicker you get in and get those things taken a look at and get the assistance that you need, they're going to help you become better people.
And Reggie, for all our veterans, I know that you recommend that if they haven't met their county veteran service officer yet, find their discharge certificate, their DD-214, and go see your county veteran service officer and get registered.
Absolutely. There's one in every county in the state. There's 122 total. Some offices obviously have more than one. But these are trained professionals. They know everything veteran. So if you have a question about education, if you have a question about benefits, getting into the VA medical center, anything that centers around a veteran, these are the experts that you need to get in and talk to.
They're there to help, and if you're a veteran, get your discharge certificate and go meet your county veteran service officer. First thing to do, even if you want to just have a chat.
Exactly, and even if you don't have your discharge certificate, go in and see the county veteran service officer, and he can help you obtain it.
We're speaking with Deputy Commissioner Reggie Worlds from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Reggie, you're now the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services and have been since April 2010, I believe. Can you tell us what is that position?
Well, I oversee 14 different programs on the programs and services side, to include claims assistance, federal claims assistance. We have our own indigenous state benefits. We have one cemetery in operation up in Little Falls, soon to have two. We will have hopefully a groundbreaking ceremony in Preston here in the next couple of months to have our second state cemetery. We have our higher education veterans program. We also have our state-approving agency, Veterans Preference. We oversee grants to county veteran service officers, to Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, our CORE program, which is a partnership with Lutheran Social Services, which provides counseling for not only veterans but family members, which I think is a key component there. We're one of the it's one of the few programs that are available where family members can actually access services for counseling, mental health, financial, and it's a big role, but I have a lot of really great staff that helps me keep the ship going forward, standing upright, and we take care of a lot of people. I'm very proud of our staff. I'm very proud of our department. The majority of the folks that are working in programs and services are veterans themselves. They care about veterans. They want to make sure that they have access to all of their entitlements, all of their benefits, and they work very hard to ensure we're seeking perfection in the delivery of those services.
I would expect nothing less from you, Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner Worlds. Now, you work for Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
Correct.
And there's another deputy commissioner that takes care of the veterans' homes, correct?
That is correct. Mike Gallucci is a retired command sergeant major. He's been with us about 2.5 years now, or probably closer to 2 years. But, we have the five veterans' homes located across the state: Minneapolis, Hastings, Silver Bay, Fergus Falls, and Laverne. And, providing that one-on-one care, making sure that those heroes who have reached that stage in their life where they need skilled nursing care is very, very important to our agency, and Deputy Gallucci does a very good job, and his staff, they do a very good job in making sure that those veterans are well taken care of.
Now, Reggie, in addition to being Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services, you're charged with maintaining a close working relationship with the veterans community as well, aren't you?
That is correct. We work very, very closely with all of the service organizations, the Commander's Task Force, UVLC, the Military Action Group, and of course all of the nonprofits and other groups that are out there that are advocating for veterans. And what is really special about being in Minnesota is the fact that everybody is on the same page. We work very closely not only with those service organizations, county veteran service officers, but also with the federal VA as well. Our congressional delegation, second to none with regards to reaching out and pushing legislation on the Capitol Hill to ensure our veterans are taken care of locally. Governor Dayton and our legislature, they are very, very supportive of veterans, going the extra mile to make sure that our agency has the necessary resources to take care of the veterans and their family members as needed.
Reggie, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the 370,000-plus veterans in the state of Minnesota and in all of these programs. That's a long job description you've got there, Reggie. I don't know how you can do all of those things and still go home at night.
Great staff. Great staff.
We're speaking with Deputy Commissioner Reggie Worlds from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Deputy Commissioner Reggie Worlds from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, live from the Minnesota State Fair. Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota, I've heard, is a veterans-friendly state. How many veterans do we have? And you've got a lot of people to watch out for, I think.
Yes, sir. We have approximately 370,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota. And with regards to being a veteran-friendly state, I go back to my early statement. It is because of the cohesiveness of this community, the people that are working very hard to make sure that veterans receive their entitlements, working together, communicating, looking at issues that are very difficult and finding ways to address them, making sure that all aspects of the veterans community that needed services are provided for. And again, I have to give a lot of kudos out to our county veteran service officers, to our state legislature, to our governor, working very, very closely, getting that information from the ground up, working with the State Department of Veterans Affairs so that we can address this legislatively when need be. But there's a lot of opportunities out there that service officers, service organizations, take it upon themselves to address these issues without, coming to us. And that's what makes Minnesota a great state to be a veteran.
Reggie, I know a lot of our listeners have emailed in and talked to me about the VA. When I think of VA, they're usually referring to the hospital, or sometimes they're talking about the federal programs for Veterans Affairs. Can you sort out what does the federal program do, and what does the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs do, and how do you work together?
Well, the federal programs are, the compensation, the pensions, the higher education benefits that come from Chapter 33, and, of course, the VA Medical Center. Those are the staples of the VA, home loan guarantee, construction, things of that nature. With the State Department of Veterans Affairs, we kind of complement those services. We provide short-term benefits for veterans until they can receive federal entitlements. We can provide, counseling through our CORE program until they're eligible to get into the VA Medical Center for said counseling. We have, again, a cemetery up in Little Falls that complements the federal cemetery over at Fort Snelling. And our partnership is just really one of working together and, filling the gaps. Whatever we can't do, the federal government, addresses, and whatever they can't address, then the State Department addresses.
So sometimes you just put a face on it and put a person to it, and you can help facilitate some of the federal programs?
Exactly. It's all about that communication, and that's where I think the state of Minnesota excels. We have very good working relationships with the federal folks, not only here locally in St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Cloud, Fargo, and Sioux Falls, but we also have that good working relationship with the folks out in Washington, D.C. Secretary Shinseki has been in the state of Minnesota, I believe, at least four or five times, and if you take a look at a lot of the reports that come out, on the federal level talking about different programs, you'll see Minnesota mentioned quite a bit because he's been very, very impressed with the hard work that we're doing here.
Reggie, I know that we had Dr. Tommy Sowers on. He's the Assistant Secretary to Secretary Shinseki, and he said that there were two things that were high on their list. Number one was eliminating the backlog of claims, and number two was to eliminate veterans' homelessness. And you're working closely with them on those issues as well, aren't you?
Yes, we are, absolutely. The county veteran service officers are kind of the crust of the claims. When you go in and see a county veteran service officer from Minnesota, the majority of the time when those claims leave their office, those claims are almost ready to rate. So when they get to St. Paul, there's very little work that has to be done in the majority of those claims. And also along the lines with homelessness, we're very close partners with the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, whose primary goal is to prevent homelessness for veterans or to help veterans that are experiencing homelessness. We've been able to work very, very closely with them, and we've seen a pretty drastic reduction in the amount of veterans that are reporting homelessness throughout the year.
And we had a big stand-down event out at Fort Snelling recently, and there are several of those coming up around the state.
Yes, they've been very, very proactive. There's been a demand for these across the state. There's going to be one in Marshall, Mankato. There's one that just took place up in Duluth, Virginia area. They're popping up all over the state, Detroit Lakes. It's a great opportunity for veterans to come in and meet with providers that can meet their needs.
We're speaking with Deputy Commissioner Reggie Worlds from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Reggie, I know you've had a real busy year, a lot of stuff going on, but you've launched a new website, and I know you had some important bills passed this past legislative session.
Yes, the new website, I guess, went out live around June of this year. It was developed by High Monkey and consultant with, of course, a lot of veterans themselves and also members of our department. We're very proud of the new website. It's easy to navigate. Lots of really great information out there. And anybody that would like to take a look at the website, it can be found at www.minnesotaveteran.org.
And it's very user-friendly compared to the old one. You can actually find some information on there now, Rich.
Yes, the other website was a little cumbersome. It was full of a lot of different information, and we've got things, I think, well-placed now, so it'll be easier for folks to navigate and find that information that they need.
So a good place to start is the website after they've talked to their county veteran service officer.
Exactly, exactly.
The past legislative session, you got some things done.
Well, I'll tell you, very, very exciting year. One of the biggest initiatives that came out of this was the expansion of the GI Bill, which, of course, you'll hear from Dave Belfi here in a couple of minutes. But it opened up the ability for veterans of all periods to be able to come in and further their education. As we start to take a look at unemployment among veterans right now, getting training and getting education to get into new career fields is going to be very, very important. So we're very, very thankful for the governor and the legislature and all of the people that supported this bill to have it passed, so that this gives more opportunities for veterans to become viable and well-trained in a new field in order to find employment.
Now, Reg, I know you said that you work with the Veteran Service Organizations and the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the commanders of the nine federally authorized
chartered.
And they work on some legislative issues. And on the other side of the House, they got a little bill passed to finish up the Veterans Home Project, didn't they?
Yes, they did. We were very, very thankful of the advocacy that we received from the CTF to get this taken care of. And so to get the state matching dollars so that we would be able to put an application to get the federal match was incredible. So this is going to be a great step forward in getting that project in Minneapolis done so that we can get veterans in a more timely fashion and be able to, you know, take care of veterans that are in need of it, that skilled nursing care.
Reggie, I know the number changes all the time because we lose some veterans and we get new veterans, but you've got something over 370,000 veterans in Minnesota. What does that really mean for your department? That's a lot of folks to look after.
It isn't. It's a welcome opportunity that we have. Right now, only about 23-24% of the veterans in the state of Minnesota are receiving any type of benefit. The majority of veterans go throughout their entire life not understanding what their entitlements are. You know, whether it be through lack of awareness or whether it be that old military pride, you know, not going to step forward, I'm not going to take something away from somebody else. So when we have this large number of veterans out there, we understand that our work is not done. We still have a lot of work to do to reach out and make sure that people understand their entitlements and to encourage them to come forward. You go in and see their county veteran service officer just to get that cursory review to make sure that they're not missing out on an entitlement that they've earned.
Reggie, how do you reach out to, like, my Vietnam veteran buddies that are sitting at home and they know they've got something wrong, but they just don't want to bother? Save the benefits for the guys that are really hurt.
Well, you know, it's a lot of one-on-one. You know, we really, in the veteran community, we really depend on guys like Tom Lyons, who truly, you know, was very resistant to coming in and talking about his benefits, to go in and, you know, talk to those veterans and say, you know, look, you know, you're missing out on a lot of things that you've earned, and help them understand that they have earned these benefits. This is not a giveaway. This is an entitlement that has been bought through service to this country. So we really depend on the Tom Lyons is out there. We depend on our website. We depend on our county veteran service officers, our partnership with the county veteran service officers, and, of course, you know, media.
Reggie, we've only got about a minute left, but I know you're taking your efforts on the road this fall for a town hall tour. What is that, and where are you going to go?
Well, we're going to hit some select sites across the state. We're going to talk about the great legislative session that we just had, you know, and heighten the awareness of the community out there about some of the things that were passed. We also want to turn these into listening sessions so that we can hear back from the veteran community, understand some of the things that they're going through, and bring back ideas for us to take a look at for future legislation or for future programs that we need to put together. And we also want to use this as a celebration saying thank you. Thank you very much, veterans, for standing up this last legislative session, for being there, talking to your legislators and your senators, your representatives, the governor, informing them how important these pieces of legislation truly are.
Well, I hope that's a great tour, and I hope you meet lots of veterans in Minnesota. I'm sure they've got some ideas for you. Maybe a little more work for you to do, Reg.
Well, we're ready for it. We're ready for it.
Reggie, we got to take a little short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to David Belfay, who is your Director of Higher Education Veterans Programs. This is Minnesota Military Radio, live from the Minnesota State Fair. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair today. We've been talking to Reggie Worlds, the Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and soon we'll talk to David Belfay about the higher education veterans programs in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
As we gather at the Great Minnesota Get-Together, I want to thank the State Fair for their continued support of our military members and veterans. This is the third year they have offered Military Appreciation Day at the fair. A special thank you to our sponsors for their support as well. There was a parade and special program in which Minnesotans showed their support and said thank you to our Vietnam-era veterans. And as a Vietnam veteran, I want to personally thank all of Minnesota for their support of veterans of all generations. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We've been speaking with Deputy Commissioner Reggie Worlds from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and joining us now is David Belfay, who is the Director of Higher Education Veterans Programs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. David, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom, for having me today, and it's nice to be here with the Deputy Commissioner as well.
David, I understand you were in the United States Navy.
That is correct. I served, first started with Commander 2nd Fleet out in Norfolk, Virginia, and did about 3 years on there. That was in a float command, and then moved to Italy and was part of Submarine Group 8 out of Naples, Italy. And then I came back and kind of finished up with Navy Recruiting District Minneapolis.
We're going to have to talk to you a little bit after the show, and you'll have to give us some tips about Norfolk, because we're going to head out there for the commissioning of the USS Minnesota.
Wonderful.
Which is a brand-new nuclear attack submarine, and the first time there's been a Minnesota in the fleet in over 100 years.
Correct. Yep, that's correct. A fast boat submarine, so I think it'll serve Minnesota well.
David, how did you get from the Navy to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, as I mentioned, a little background on myself, and after I separated from the Navy, I actually went into financial services for a little while, and back in 2006, had an opportunity to start a program, really. There were 5 of us, along with, who's a faculty member at Central Lakes College, Don Pfeffer, and we received some funding to kind of get something off the ground. We initially had a sunset on this, and we created some veteran-friendly policies on Minsky campuses. We put staff members out on college campuses to assist with veteran benefits, kind of A to Z when it comes to education, and we really became the resident experts on military or veteran benefits out on the campuses in Minnesota. And this is really... We can put a feather in our hat here in Minnesota, because this is a once-in-the-nation type program, so to speak. It has not been duplicated throughout the nation, and we have surrounding states and states all throughout the United States who contact us and ask us how we got this off the ground and how we've done it relatively with a low budget. So the program from 2006, we've expanded from the five of us, and now I have 14 staff members who are all over, kind of strategically placed all over the state, typically on the MinSCU campuses. And we're there to really assist, either it could be faculty readiness with the returning folks coming back to higher education, also our veterans and military and family members who need to kind of tap into those benefits that they're entitled to.
David, when I came back from Vietnam some 40 years ago, there was the GI Bill was pretty simple. It was simple and straightforward, and there were veterans offices on every campus. But over a few decades in between, a lot of those closed down because the need wasn't there and the demand wasn't there. But now, since September 11, 2001, there's all kinds of veterans coming out off of active duty and coming back from Guard and Reserve, and they need help again. And the GI Bill isn't so simple anymore, is it?
No, not quite as simple as it was. We have multiple GI Bill programs, and of course there are quite a few state programs. And when you talk about the need, back in 2006 when we started this program, we had just under 5,000 individuals receiving veterans benefits in Minnesota. Our last legislative report, we were just under 15,000. So in that matter of time, we've really either pushed more folks to higher ed to use those benefits, or we also like to say that we're keeping those folks in higher ed because we're able to explain those benefits to them so they're not getting confused and actually just dropping out of school because of the confusion.
And MinSCU has done a great job of reestablishing the veterans offices at many, many of the campuses, haven't they?
That is correct. And with our partnership with MinSCU and Steve France at the systems office, it's been tremendous. He's kind of our word out there, word on the street for MinSCU. We continuously discuss veteran policies on campus, and he can be the one that essentially just kind of puts the word out to our faculty and staff.
We're speaking with David Belfi, the Director of Higher Education Veterans Programs from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. So, David, when our troops come back, if they were active duty, they qualify for one program. If they were Guard and Reserve, I think it depends on how many days they were active duty. There's even some programs, as I understand it, for the spouses or the family of the GIs. But federal program is in many parts now, isn't it?
That is correct. And you mentioned with the family members, it could be because the veteran is a disabled veteran, that's the reason dependents are receiving benefits, or it could be simply with the new GI Bill, the post 9/11 or Chapter 33, for those of folks who are familiar with it, that benefit can be transferred. However, one word of caution I'd like to put out, the service member has to still be serving, and there is a little obligation time. So if you have retired from the military, or you're close to retirement, or you've separated within the last few years, that benefit cannot be transferred. Again, just to reiterate, you have to be currently serving to transfer.
So I imagine you're finding that when the Guard and Reserve come back, or even when the active duty get off active duty, with the economic times being what they are, they can either go to work, or maybe it's a good time to go back to school and get that extra education so that they can enter the workforce at a higher level.
Absolutely. You know, that's what we're really seeing. And being part of the National Guard's demobilization team, my staff goes out to each of the demobilization sites throughout the United States, and we're an intricate part of that demobilization with MinSCU, and we bring our deed folks out, and county veteran service officers are there with us. So we're essentially meeting these folks immediately after they return back to the United States, not quite back to Minnesota, because we're hitting them up at the demobilization sites.
So, Reggie, when our National Guard troops come back, we know there's a 30, 60, 90-day program, reintegration program, but you are there with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to make sure that they're aware of all the veterans' benefits that they might need.
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, it's not only just the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. It's like Dave just said. It's our higher education folks. It's the County Veteran Service Officers. It's DEED. It's Department of Revenue. It's the Veteran Service Organizations, LSS, our core program. Anything that we can think of that veterans may need, any questions they may have that need to be asked, or any problem they may have that need to be remedied, we have resources available for those guys when they return.
What a fabulous program to have a one-stop shop, and you've got everybody there they could need. Are the rest of the states doing this, Reggie?
You know, I can't speak for a lot of states. I think that Minnesota was probably at the forefront of this. You know, I know that there have been a lot of inquiries from other states wanting to know, how did we put this together? How did it work? How did you get all the folks together? And it really just comes down to that the folks in Minnesota care about veterans so much that they're willing to do whatever's necessary to ensure that they receive the care that they need in order to acclimate back into society when they come back.
David, how do you find our troops at these demobilization events? Are they really interested in all the information that's there? Are they engaged?
You know, I want to say yes, because they're going through the military briefings, and those folks that are providing those briefings are, of course, in a uniform. Well, we show up in civilian clothes, and we're not quite military, we'll say that. We're civilian, we're Minnesota nice. We're sitting in front of them explaining the benefits, not necessarily kind of saying you have to do this. It's more of, this is a benefit that you folks have. And the nice thing, as the deputy commissioner mentioned, on the 30, 60, 90-day events, not only are we going to those events, but we also do the family assistance folks. So we'll hit up the families, giving the same presentation prior to the soldiers returning. Then we'll visit with the soldiers. Then we get them together at the 30-day event. So then the families and the soldiers are together saying, okay, now let's really kind of dig into this, and how can we get into these benefits.
So they're well-briefed, and they know where to get the information they need.
Correct.
David and Reggie, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Minnesota GI Bill. We're talking to Reggie Worlds, Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and David Belfi, the Director of Higher Education Veterans Benefits on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined today by Reggie Worlds, the Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and David Belfi, the Director of Higher Education Veterans Programs. Both of these gentlemen are veterans. Reggie is a veteran of the United States Army, and David, you were in the Navy.
That's correct, absolutely. Yep, served Submarine Group 8 and also Second Fleet Staff.
Now, I want to get to this Minnesota GI Bill, but before I do, in a couple of weeks, we're going to go out and we're going to cover the commissioning of the USS Minnesota, which is a nuclear-powered attack submarine, brand new, first time in over 100 years that we've had a vessel named after Minnesota. And we're going to have a private tour of that thing. Is there anything I should look for?
Yeah, you know what you'll want to take a look at? You can go down into the engine room area, and there's like a periscope that you can look through where you can actually view the nuclear reactor. But just be careful. Don't put your eyes all the way up to the little periscope thing, because they sometimes will put like shoe polish and whatever on there. So you come out with just forewarning if any of them sailors out there are trying to play some pranks on you.
We'll let Sergeant Hulkober do that. He's not listening. So
he's not listening.
We'll have him check that first. I also understand that these days there's no wheel, but kind of a joystick that controls the boat.
That's correct.
That's going to be a little different to see, isn't it?
Yep, a little different than back. Of course, with Submarine Group 8, I was able to take some rides and do some training on the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, which, of course, was another fast attack submarine when it was in the Mediterranean.
Well, it should be a fun trip, but we better get back to work here. Now, Reggie's giving us these funny looks. Get back to education, the Minnesota GI Bill. We've been talking about the GI Bill and how it's changed over since World War II to the Vietnam to the current affairs of the military, and it's a bit more complicated. But why did Minnesota has a GI Bill and the state of Minnesota's legislature just renewed it, as I understand? Can you tell me what's the Minnesota GI Bill all about and why do we need it?
Absolutely. Let's go back to 2006 again when we started our program. Part of the legislation with veterans-friendly practices in Minnesota and some MNSCU policies that were enacted in 2006 along with the Veterans Resource Centers in my program and those sort of things, a big part of our legislation was also the Minnesota GI Bill, which came into play then. Now, just a quick overview on that. That's when it initially came into play. It was for folks who served after September 11, 2001, and the program has always been a last dollar in program. So essentially, if you're having GI Bill benefits and you have financial aid and you have all of these other benefits, we really kind of saw that it wasn't as much of a need for it, because folks coming back have the post-9/11 GI Bill, which typically covers their tuition and fees and gives them a book allowance and provides them a housing allowance. So recently, or a couple of the past years, and then this year in specific, we really pushed to have the Minnesota GI Bill out to all eras. So all veterans under the age of 62 who wish to go back to higher education now have a benefit. And I just want to reiterate that fact. If you are under the age of 62 and you think that your federal benefits have either been exhausted, you used them all up, or you have a delimiting date on those federal benefits, you still have a benefit with the Minnesota GI Bill. So the program is there to really kind of have a stopgap between some of these folks who whose delimiting dates have come and gone, or maybe they exhausted their benefits and they want to go back and get a different certificate, a diploma, maybe a second bachelor's, or even work for a master's or other professional degree.
Did they do some research into that and find out that there were some middle-aged folks that needed some retraining? What was the cause?
Absolutely. A couple of years ago, President Obama signed in the Veterans Retraining Assistance Program, which is called the VRAP program, and that's for veterans who are age 35 up to age 60. And those folks would have all their benefits, of course, that are typically either exhausted or the delimiting date is come and gone. So that program actually expires on March 31st of 2014. So the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and then, of course, with the legislature, we saw that there's a little stopgap there, and we say, well, this program for VRAP ends in March. However, typically the semesters go through May, so we want to make sure that these folks are going to be covered all the way through that particular term, or even if they're just part of the way through their training, let's cover them in future semesters as well.
So the eligibility is 61 or younger. Veterans must be Minnesota residents, honorably discharged, I'm assuming. And then are there some surviving spouses and children that are eligible as well?
Absolutely. If the dependents or if the service member is 100% service connected, disabled, permanent and total is really what we're looking for. Permanent and total, the dependents would have the benefit, and if they're also eligible for the Fry Scholarship, which is the Chapter 33 for dependents of service members who were killed in action.
So do the veterans reps that are on the campuses, are they familiar with, I'm sure, all the eligibility and who can get it, who can't, the dependents that can get it, and so forth?
Correct. My staff has, over the past couple of months, we have been going out visiting with the county folks, the county veteran service officers, as the deputy commissioner mentioned, our great partnership with those folks, that anyone who comes into the county offices who is under the age of 62, who may want to even go back to higher ed, we have pamphlets for them, we have handouts, and then, of course, the business cards are all out in the county areas, in the deed offices. And we have a pretty good campaign going with publicity, with our communications department, and some billboards throughout the state.
Okay, David, now I'm going to put you on the spot. We're out here broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and we just had 1,000 or more Vietnam veterans marching out here today, and I see the cutoff is age 61. You must be the state legislature must have thrown us out as Vietnam veterans and older guys.
You know, here's the good thing, though. We cut that off because age 62 and higher, you can attend MNSCU institutions free of charge.
Oh.
So you have a great benefit if you want to go back to higher ed. You don't have to worry about all these other programs. You just go back as a Vietnam veteran and attend some higher ed.
Reggie,
so maybe we'll see you back on campus.
Reggie, I thought I was going to catch him, but I didn't catch him, did I?
I told you I have great staff.
Well, let's get into that for a minute. So our Vietnam veterans that are all out here today, if they're just retired and they want to go back to school, they can do it.
They can do it if they're Minnesota resident, and if they're under the age of 62, absolutely. We have the program for them. If they're over the age of 62, we can. There's also another MNSCU policy that's out there.
Reggie, keep coming full circle. All our veterans, regardless of age, they better go visit their county veteran service officer, and they should stop out at MNSCU and talk to those vet reps on the campuses.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can't go. I can't speak highly enough of our county veteran service officers. Again, one in every county across the state. If you have any question, they are the center of gravity for all things veterans there. So I would encourage, if you're a veteran family member, if you got any questions, any concerns, please go and visit your county veteran service officer. They are the gateway to all access to all benefits.
Reggie, I got one more question for you. We've been talking about the Commander's Task Force and all our veteran service organizations, such as the VFW, American Legion, DAV, all of those. They combine forces and combine numbers, and when they go up to the legislature, they know that they're talking to the organizations that represent a lot of veterans in Minnesota. What would you say to our veterans out there that maybe haven't joined a veteran service organization?
I would say that they should definitely look into joining a service organization. We need their voices. Their voices are very, very important. The numbers are very, very important. And we want you to become active. And, you know, I speak this not only to the older veterans that are out there, but also to the younger veterans. You know, we need you to continue to serve. You know, these benefits that, you know, folks enjoy today, these were hard-fought benefits. These were benefits that our older generation went to, you know, the legislature, to Congress, to get passed. And, you know, we need these young guys to get involved, to become a part of the process, to continue the good work that has been started by, you know, their predecessors. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. As we can take a look at the Vietnam veterans, Agent Orange was very prevalent, and now we have several new presumptive conditions secondary to Agent Orange exposure. We don't know what is going to be on the horizon with the guys that served over in Iraq and Afghanistan. We need them to be focused. We need them to be engaged and to become a part of the process, because they are going to be the folks that are going to take over this this mantle at some point in time, and they are going to be the future.
Gentlemen, great job, and thank you both for joining us today on the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Reggie Worlds, the Deputy Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and David Belfi from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Reggie Worlds, David Belfi, Commissioner Larry Shelito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair with Major General Rick Nash, and we get an update from Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.